So the final points that the Chofetz Chaim makes about shidduchim, one is that he says when it comes to a question of is the boy a Talmud Chacham, can he learn? Yeah, that's a question that people ask. So the answer is as follows, that if you're a balabos and you get asked that question, who are you to say who's a balabos? Who's a Talmud Chacham, and who's a balabos as well? But who are you to say who's a Talmud Chacham, how much he can learn, he can't learn? Yeah. So the only people that will have that question asked to them really is his rabbonim, his rabbeim, or his chavrusas. Yeah. And the chavrusas have to be very careful because. See, he says that if you, as a balabos, get asked the question, you should say, I don't know. You should say, I don't know, because who are you to decide who is a Talmud Chacham? He doesn't discuss, but what happens if you are his chavrusa? Or what happens if you are his rebbe, and you get asked that question, is he a Talmud Chacham, can he learn? That's a different question. I mean, that is the same question, but you're asking somebody who ought to know. Again, he says it depends, and the same thing will be tomorrow, Blieda, that we'll talk about financial commitments. What happens if a balabos is committing himself to a certain amount of nadan and support and all that sort of thing, and you know that he can't afford it, and you know that he knows that he can't afford it, and you know that he knows that he doesn't intend to keep his promise, and what he's mechayev himself, but he's so desperate to do the shidduch that he commits himself to all sorts of things and thinks to himself that, you know, once they're married, we'll sort things out. So Bledu will sort that out tomorrow, and that's Friday. Oh, no, sorry. Tomorrow morning I'm not here, Miyat Shem. Tomorrow morning, maybe Ronnie will sort it out tomorrow. But tomorrow morning I'm not here, Miyat Shem. My son is making a bris b'shol tov and mazlachas.
Started the Torah Way Northwest London Thursday. First of Shabbat, 11th of January, Rabbi Yeshua Biton, Brocha on Hallel. This week's Torah was from my family, Grossmas, the first son of the son of Yehud Steinbach, Mary Yoed, and the Hamel Grossmas.
When Rabbi
Yeshua took place on Tuesday, Yehud Rotsen, she moved by Shemon, the Yisrael, the same as Shabbat. Amen.
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 The title was put down as topical, so I'll try and keep it as topical as possible, first of all, in Kodesh. And when we discuss the parshas that we're in and the month that we're in, we have Tu B'Shvat coming up, which, as we know, if we look at the trees outside, at least in the UK, and there's no fruit on the trees. So it's very clear that Tu B'Shvat is not a celebration of the fact, although it's Rosh Hashanah Le'ilana, it's not the celebration of the fact that the trees are now bearing fruit. Pesach time, when we start seeing the blossoms, and perhaps a little bit later, would be the ideal time to celebrate the fact that there's fruits on the tree. But there's something more going on here. And ultimately, I'm not a botanist, but they tell me that right now, underneath the ground, even though it looks like it's a dark time for us, it looks like a winter, it's cold, and it's not geschmack. However, underground, there's a lot of stuff going on. In fact, all the stuff is going on. And the only reason why we see the blossoms on the tree in Pesach is because we have been busy underground in the times of darkness. In the same way that we go to a nice event, a chasna, everyone knows that the work was all done prior. As you said, nadonim had to be discussed or not discussed, and money had to be arranged, etc. And that is where we are now. And Am Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael, and Eimet Shraim at the moment, although they're in Afela, it's really dark, they're under Shibud, immense Shibud, but actually, as we know, because we have a spoiler alert, we know what was going to happen in the end, it's the gears are cranking up, and the soil is being, you know, becoming ripe and ready for the Cheirus to come. And when we talk about Shibud Mitzrayim, we talk about Avodim, ultimately, the biggest part of slavery, or the most difficult part of slavery, or any incarceration, anyone, you know, who finds themselves in confinement in Mitzrayim, is the fact that they have absolutely no control of their time. That is as painful, if not more painful, than perhaps the hardships of the work or the crack of the whip. The fact that they now cannot decide when they need to go outside, read a book, have dinner, use the bathroom, go to sleep, wake up. We're told that the avodah was the women had to do the men's work, but also they had absolutely zero control of their time. And when the Torah says, you know, a yid cannot sell himself as a slave, because you should be an eved Hashem and not an eved of a human being. Not only is it like you shouldn't sell yourself to someone else, but much more importantly, it's a contradiction. You cannot serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu and give him your time when ultimately you owe that time to someone else because you've sold yourself. And we see this with payalim and workers, etc. There are certain laws about mincha and benching because your time is suddenly not yours. We see this with avodim, that they only mechuv on the mitzvahs of like noshim, which is without anything that was not time bound, because they have other priorities when it comes to their time. They have other things controlling their time. And therefore, it's no wonder that when Bnei Yisrael leave Mitzrayim, the first mitzvah they get, it's a bit of an anticlimax. You suddenly become a nation. You left your Mitzrayim. There should be fantastic mitzvahs. The first one, perhaps, Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh. But as we've discussed, it makes 100% sense. Because they suddenly got control of their time. So the minute you get control of your time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you, first thing, okay, you've got your time now, let's regulate it. Let's make sure it gets used, it gets managed, and therefore, the minute we got our freedom, we get Rosh Chodesh in order to regulate our time. Now, there is Kiddush HaChodesh that we do in Rosh Chodesh, Karbonos that we do in Rosh Chodesh, but today there isn't much that we do in Rosh Chodesh. Maybe if you go to school, you can bring an extra nash or wear a white shirt or whatever it is that you may or may not, depending on whatever school that you go to. But ultimately, there isn't much going on. But there was an institute that with the fact that we say halal. So where's this from? Okay, so let us start. There is a Gemara, there's various Gemaras. One I'm reading now is in Tanis that talks about when we say halal and when we don't say halal. Shmoyne esay yoyim b'shana yachid goyim b'henes halal. 18 times a year that a yachid goyim b'henes halal finishes halal. Be'elehen shmoyne sumech achag chanukah b'shmoyne sumech of sukkos. Shmoyne sumech chanukah, the 8 days of chanukah, v'yontov arishin shal pesach, v'yontov arishin shal atzeres, u'begoyle esrim be'echod yoyim. So 18 in Eretz Yisrael, 21 in Chutz La'aretz, because we have the extra days of the second day's yomtov. The Sukkos gets the full 8 days mentioned in the Gemara because there's a carbon on each day, it's a moed. However, Pesach doesn't really get it, and there's no finishing of the halal other than the Yom Tov itself. So it goes through the Chutz La'aretz once. Ve'elohen tishus mei'ach chag, shmoyin mei'ach chanukah, v'shnei yomim harishonim shel Pesach. U'beis yomim toivim shel atzeres, full stop. Okay? So, no mention, if it would be, Rosh Chodesh would be considered in one of them. It's not here. No mention of Rosh Chodesh would be another 12 days, 13 this year, of each day of Rosh Chodesh. However, there is no mention of it. But we know that we say it. So, by Mine, Marim Brochus, I believe, the Gemara discusses whether you can or cannot be mafsik in the middle of Hallel, and it talks about, depending on which kind of halal, yomim shah yachid goyim b'mez halal, right? Be'emtzah perik, or not be'emtzah perik. And he discusses this concept of yachid goyim, not yachid goyim. What is that talking about? Which brings us to another Gemara. Back to the Gemara in Tainis, where it discusses a story that happened with Rav. Rav ikle lebavel. He finds himself in Babel. So it happens that he happened to be in Babel, or he finds himself in Babel. Chazina, he sees the Kakori Halele Bereshi Yarcha. He goes into the shul and he sees that they're saying Halel on Rosh Chodesh. Sova Lav Sikinu. Now he was thinking of making a Macha, right? He was thinking of getting up and letting them know that this shouldn't be done. Kiven the Chachaz the Kamadalgi Delugi. Once he saw that they're skipping some parts of Halel, then he thought to himself, oh, okay, it's not that they're Amaratzim over here, and they think that Rosh Chodesh is a Moed, and we have to say Halel. Rather, they clearly consciously are saying Halel on Rosh Chodesh, and they're missing something out, and therefore, must be, what? Must be Minag Aviseyem Biyodeyem. What they're doing here is a minhag that's passed down, and therefore we can't, I'm not here, how can I be moicha? That means he was happy to be moicha if he thought these people were making a mistake. Well, it wasn't even a mechai, he was just going to let them know. But seeing as they were doing a bedilug, it was clear that they were doing this intentionally, and they knew that it was chodesh, and still they... So therefore, minhag saying b'yadem, and then he continues, Tana yachid lo yaschil, a yachid shouldn't say halal by himself, v'im hischil, however, if he did start, goyma, he finishes the halal. On that comes the Rambam.
Dilugin with leaving out bits.
Yes. So it says, Rashi says, bedilug is the loylon. Says the Rambam, and he based off this Gemara, the Komus Shaosim Yom Tov Shnei Yomim Gomer Zahal Esrim Echad Yom Tishi Meachag Shmuel Mechanuka Ushnei Yomim Ateres. Where are we? Find it. Here we go. Shal Pesach Shnei Yom Shateres Abba Barosh Chadoshim Kriyas Halam Minag Ve'Enam Mitzvah. On Rosh Chodesh, it's a minhag and not a mitzvah. Minhag zeh b'tzibur. The minhag is to be done with the tzibur. Lefikach korim bediluk. The ein mevorchin alav she'ein mevorchin ala minhag. You don't make a bracha on halal because you don't make a bracha on a minhag, which is obviously contrary to what you did this morning because you're an Ashkenazi shul. V'yochid lo yikra klal, and if you're alone, you shouldn't read it b'chlal. V'im hischil yashle v'yikra bediluk kederach she'korim on tzibur, and if you did start, then you should obviously miss out. Like the tzibur b'chein b'shay yemei ha-pesach, and so too on chol ha-moed, korim b'dilug, k'roshei chadoshim. And that's the Rambam. Psa. Comes along the Shulchan Aruch, Maran, and he put things in perspective for us. By the way, the reason why the minhag is brought down, the Shittim HaKibetzis says, the reason why the minhag was instituted is because of the fact that there was no white shirts and extra nash on Rosh Chodesh. So they needed to we got a mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. How do we elevate Rosh Chodesh now, and particularly in Chutz La'aretz? We say halal. So then that's where the minhag sort of came in, to sort of give oomph to a day, which is very important. It's a quasi-yom tov, but there was no korbanos now, and there's not. So what do? We say halal. That's where it came in. It says the Shulchan Aruch, the halal b'dilug, bein yachid, bein tzibur. You read halal with skipping out, bein yachid, yesh omrim, sha'at tzibur mevorchim alav b'tchila, likroi, es ha-halel, ul-basoif yahalelucha, right? And he brings a yesh omer that you say halal with the bracha, both in the beginning and you close it at the end. V'ayachid eim avarach alav, however, the yachid eim avarach alav, full stop. V'yesh omerim, sha'af, which is the Rambam we just saw, sha'af ha-tzibur eim avarach alav, loy b'tchila v'loy b'soif, v'zeh das ha-Rambam, v'chein nagu, v'chol malchus eretz Yisrael, v'svi voy seya. Says the Shulchan Aruch, it brings down that Yesh Omrim you make a bracha, and then Yesh Omrim you don't make a bracha, quotes that as the Rambam, and says, and so was the custom of the people living in Eretz Yisrael, which was the Shulchan Aruch himself, Beis Yosef himself in Tzfas, and Svivoy Seha. Now, Svivoy Seha is very, basically anywhere where the unmanned drones of the Houthis can reach, basically. So Iraq, Iran, Syria, Lebanon, that whole area. However, myself, as a North African, Moroccan, Tunisian, and Algerian, lo nichnas leminhag zeh. And therefore we have an interesting one where we go with the riff and a bit of the Rosh. I think I discussed here once how the Rosh was, although he was Ashkenazi, he made his way through France down to Spain, where they acknowledged his brilliance, and he pretty much infused a lot of psakim. And then when they got over the Strait of Gibraltar and into Morocco, or when there was Girish Svar, those that went to North Africa took the minhagim with them. So therefore in Morocco, you will have the Shliach Tzibur makes the bracha, the Kahal says Amen, and we go from there. But if you would go to a Middle Eastern minyan, there will be absolutely no bracha at all, based on this Shulchan Aruch that says that the minhag of Eretz Yisrael and Sviva says, so Middle East wouldn't say. However, what goes on in this shul? Hagav Yesh Omrim, the Gam Yochim Mevarech Alav, this is the Ramah. V'chein Nagim Medinas Elo, in Ashkenaz, they would make a full bracha. Mikol Mokim, however, he says, Yizor Adam Likros B'Tzibur. You should make an extra effort, if you find yourself traveling or something, you should make an extra effort when it gets to Halel to do it B'Tzibur, Kedei Lavarech Alav in Matzibur, because the Gemara mentions that ideally you shouldn't do it alone. Yesh Omrim, K'shiyachet Kora Omrim L'Shnaim, Shiyomri Imoy, Rashi Prokim, if you find yourself alone, you should find another two people to say it with you. The Nohagu came, and that is the Ramah. So we have these three shittas. Now, what is the machlekas based on? And there's Tosfos, and actually Tosfos and Rashi. Rashi argues with Tosfos here. And the Tosfos says that the understanding of Rashi is that it's a minhag. And therefore, on a minhag, we don't make a bracha. Right? And he brings a proof from Lulavah Rabbah at the case of Arabas. Right? So, Hoshana Rabbah, we whack the Arabas on the ground. And I presume, chabit, chabit, v'loy barich, I know we say bas, we hit it, we don't make a bracha. Well, why don't you make a bracha? Because it's a minhag. So we don't make a bracha on the minhag, and therefore, when we hit the Hashanahs on the ground, we make mention of the fact that we don't make a bracha. Kesava, arava minhag, nevi'im hi, it's a minhag of the nevi'im, alma, minhag, le mevarchit. However, comes along Rabbeinu Tam, and he says, no, if it was a case that we don't make a bracha, and this is a svara that I also cottoned onto. Well, hold on, he comes into shul. The story of he comes into shul, and he was about to make a macha, and then he saw they're skipping. So what did he decide to do? Oh, we're skipping. I'm not going to be making. Well, hold on. Did he not? He should have already chapped when they didn't make a bracha. Says Rabbeinu Tam. You can tell me he didn't come in late. Rabbeinu Tam actually entertains that he maybe came in late. He says, no, because then the Gemara wouldn't have said he happened to be in Babel. The Gemara would have said he happened to be in Shul. Because he definitely wouldn't have planned to come late. So either he just found himself in Shul and they were davening, or he found himself in Babel and went to Shul, and he only chapped when they skipped that it was a minhag. He didn't chap when they started the bracha. Must be, says Rabbeinu Tam, that they actually made a bracha, which is fantastic cry against the Rambam. And he says, aye, we don't make a bracha by a minhag. He says, oh, this is what I said. Let's say he came late. Because it doesn't make sense with the language. So he says, what's the nami mevarchin? Says Rabbeinu Tam, no, actually, we do make brachas on a minag. Ay, Hoshanas. Vahi de sukkah, de mashma, da minag le mevarchin. Hainu dafka a minhag da arova. Well, there are minhagim and there are minhagim. And the minhag of Arava is very different to the minhag of Halel on Rosh Chodesh. The tiltul lo mevarchin alav b'shamin, yeah, b'shaminag. So he's saying like this: Hashanahs, it's not a mitzvah. It never was a mitzvah. You would never make a bracha on Hashanahs. So you have a minhag to take Hashanahs. There's no mitzvah of taking Hashanahs where you will ever make a bracha. So you don't make a bracha on this minhag. However, surely on minhagim you make brachas v'horaya second day yontov, that today we don't have a calendar and we only keep out some minhag. We make brachas left, right, and center. We make a bracha on the matzah, we make a bracha shechi yon, we make a bracha on kiddush, we make a bracha on morrow, we make a bracha all over, we make a bracha on halal. So you see that for minhagim you do make brachas. Just if it's a mitzvah. But if it's not a mitzvah, it's just take that the minhag is to take an arava, then you're not, right? Like Chanukah, the halal there. There is not a minhag, it's more instituted, right? It's instituted by the Chum in the same way Megillah is, the Hoyvus Lahala Shabbat, so therefore, Zech, you make a bracha. But in general, when the minhag is a mitzvah, then you're going to make a bracha, and therefore Rosh Chodesh, the minhag is a mitzvah, so you make a bracha. However, to bring me a raya from Sukkah, Arovus, we don't, the whole thing is a minhag, it's not based on a mitzvah of making brachas on Arovus. There's never a case where you make brachas on Arovus. And therefore, he says, V'chein halach l'maisa, ufi zeh yesh li zar. Shaloi ledaber be'emtza halel kiven sheberach, he made the bracha, and you don't want to have a hefsek between the beginning and the end of the bracha. Now this is where it gets exciting, is that the chida, who primarily from Tzfas, but then goes to find himself in Morocco, and he asked a question that he was also a great traveler, as we know from his svarim. So he finds, he gets asked this question, but I presume he come up with this question himself. He asks, and I'm bringing this down from the Chavadah. So, Hinemar Nachida B'Shal Shiv Zchaim Shal Nishal Oydus Toshev Eretz Yisrael. Someone who is Israeli. She Yotzel Chutzlaretz B'Mokim Shinar Gulevarech Al Ahalal B'Rosh Chodesh. Let's say he goes to a place like Morocco, I presume, or he comes to London, in a place that they have the minhag to make a bracha on halal, like we just saw with Tosfos. That you have to make a bracha on halal. But Datu Lachsoi, he's there for, I don't know, Cholamot Pesach, he's in a hotel, and Datu Lachsoi to go afterwards, and he comes down the lobby, and they're making a bracha on halal. Well, he more than that. He comes down, there's an Ashkenazi minion. Ha'im Roshoi La'avar Ifna Teva, can he go for the Omud, K'shliach Tzibur, as the Shliach Tzibur, U'Lavarech Halel Kamin Hagan. So basically, he's someone from Edut Mizrach. He doesn't make a bracha on Halel. According to him, it's a bracha levatala, technically, because there's no need to make a bracha. Paskin's like the Rambam. He finds himself in the hotel lobby. The only minion at the moment is Ashkenaz. He has, let's say, Yotzeit. He's just the only one there who can read properly. Sometimes happens in these hotels. And he goes up and he starts dabbling. And then he chaps midway. He's got a problem. He's got a room full of people who have a minute to make a bracha. And he doesn't make a bracha. What should he do? Says the Gemara. Even though he's someone who's Israeli resident that doesn't make a bracha, and as we see in the Shulchan Aruch, that people who live in that vicinity don't make a bracha. And if he was davening by himself, not only he's not allowed to make a bracha if he was davening in the lobby by himself, the Yechidus, because you take on the stringencies of the minhag from where you left. Now that he's become a messenger for the Kahal, he's become a Shliach Tzibur, he's allowed to make a bracha, which is seemingly a bracha levatala. And the moitzim yedei chavasam, this zed divrei hachida, this is the words of Rav Yosef Chaim David Azulai. Kiven shenagu sham levarich, behavi raya lezeh, mihagmarim psachim. He brings a fantastic raya from the Gemara in Pesachim. I know we've gone off, we've got the Chida and the Rabbi Avad Yosef, but don't worry, I'll bring you a Moshe Feinstein, which will make it very nagea to yourselves. So, what does he say? He says, the Gemara in Pesachim says, Rav Ashin is daming l'mechuz v'shabbos shachris. He finds himself in an area on shachris on Shabbos. Now, I don't know if this ever happens to you. You find yourself in a situation. I was once at a bris, Ashkenazi bris. I have daughters, so I'm not really familiar with the goat. And they gave me some kibbutz. I can't remember what it was called, but I had no idea what it was. So I'm walking up there. I don't know what they wanted me to do. Maybe do the bris. I don't know what they wanted me to do. I'm walking up very slowly and tentatively, trying to work out for any clues to what we're supposed to do. Now, I see that there's a precedent here. So Rav Ashi is in, finds himself Shabbos Shachris, and then obviously finished Shachris, so it was between Shachris and Moses. And they told him, Omrlo, Yikadish lanu ma Kiddush Gadol. Chuvin Kiddush Gadol. He didn't know what Kiddush Gadol was. What's Kiddush Gadol? Kiddush Kakum, what's Kiddush Gadol? He doesn't know what. But it's interesting why, I didn't check to see any impression why he started, why he didn't just turn around to the guy next to him and say, what's Kiddush Gadol? But he decides he's going to wing it, and he goes, starts walking tentatively to the Kiddush Becher. Choshav b'liboy, ma kavanosam ba'omron Kiddush Gadol. He's like wondering, what's going on? The hiskel avorech b'rakir b'rakir priyagefen. So he starts Kiddush in Shabbos day, is pretty much alkane, and then that's it. It's basically b'rakir priyagefen. He starts, starts going long. He's like, he has to work out what's going on. Now, what was his plan? I think this is universal in shul. There's always going to be the one guy that is cupped over here by Kiddush. It's the same way that the children's hands are hovering over the Kiddush table. And he thought to himself, I'm going to, make a Borei Pri Agef, and there's going to be one guy who's going to either move or not move. And if he moves with a cut, then I know that, well, this is their Kiddush Gadol, just a long bracha that I got them. But if everyone's stationary, then I'll keep going and do the Kiddush of Leil Shabbos. That seems to be his plan. So, he saw that one of the Chevron Shul started actually drinking his cup, but as Haven Shinistan was there, Kiddush, he realizes, okay, I fulfilled my mission, Kiddush Gadol complete, we can keep going. Upirish Rashbam there, and Rashbam explains what we just said. Sheherich v'rechosei ledas, she'im yamaher echad mehem nishtos, he wanted to see, he made a long bracha to see if anyone is going to get edgy and start quickly drinking, and he'll know, b'kach yobin shebirchas barabri hagefen, b'vad him regilin loyma, and he'll chat that Kiddush Gadol is just barabri hagefen, and for some reason this shul calls it Kiddush Gadol. V'lo yoseh. She'im loy came, however, if no one would have moved, haya oime lehen Kiddush Gadol shalayla shalayla kemin hagim. However, had everyone been stationary, he would have continued to make the Kiddush of Yom HaShishi. The second bracha, he would have gone and be Mekadosh HaShabbos on Shabbos day kemin hagim. Nimtza, says the Chida. She'af al pi shebederech klal ein loy ma b'kiddush al Shabbos shachris rak b'chas bar b'ra gefen, even though it's not his minag to make you know, and potentially a bracha levatala, he was willing to go with the flow in order to go with them in now, to not make machlokes. I'm not sure, right? Since he presumed that it was a minag with chachamim, but who had in the halal, and therefore says the chiddo, we can connect this to halal shall rosh chodesh of rosh chodesh. Kudvarav kasev agon, right? And he brings a few people. However, says the Rabbi Vadi Yosef, the raya is a little bit shvach, and he says the reason why the raya is shvach is, in his opinion, because the bracha of kiddush is just a brachas shvach. So I was using a play on words there, unintentionally. So the bracha of kiddush is a brachas shvach. You're saying the kaddish of Shabbos. Okay, ideally you've already done kiddush hayom the night before, so what are you doing again? But again, it's still Shabbos, it's still holy, so you sanctify the day, another sanctification. But to say asher kiddushanu b'mitzvoysov v'tzivonu, when there's no tzivonu and no mitzvoysov, it's just a minhag, what are you doing? So it could be Rav Asher was okay to make a Kiddush Gadol to sanctify Shabbos, to be Mekadosh HaShabbos, even though Kiddush was already done. And then he quotes someone that Rav Asher was so much on the fact that there's probably one person in the shul at the time that hadn't made Kiddush the night before, and therefore for him it would be okay to make Kiddush again. But to bring this to Halal, to say Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvoso b'tzivonu, not so gishmak. And therefore he says, no, it's not a raya from... Chidoz Raya from the case of the Kiddush is not such a strong Raya. However, Rav Moshe Feinstein asks this question, or gets asked this question about a shul on Pesach evening, say the night. So they say the minhag varies with among Ashkenazim, to whether to say Hallel or not, and therefore most shuls would have taken on that you do say Hallel, because, or this particular shul would say Hallel, because there would have been some people with minhag of grah that wouldn't say Hallel, and you find yourself in a situation where you're in a shul, some people do say, some people don't say, and what should we say? And says Rav Moshe, I know you should say grah, I'm Rahal, basic Knesset, but I'm Sochim, Ulakach, Afshe, basic Knesset, who shall Nusach Ashkenaz, I'm Rahal, Shemistoma, Hoyusham. Since there are going to be some people at the Grah, so you should, they tend to say it. And therefore, no one should get up in shul and say, oh, you shouldn't do it because it's not Al-Minag, it is Al-Minag Yom. And not only that, you can't leave early, because the Kibbutz Shenagu came, since that shul has the custom to say the halal on, say, the night. Now that he's established himself as a member of this shul, he can't change it because we don't want to cause machlokes. And if he was to leave, and if he was just to leave, people say, oh, he's leaving. Right? Not only is it not good, not only will it cause machlokes to voice his opinion, but even just to walk out silently sometimes is louder than words. Because it becomes clear that why is he leaving? Because he argues with them and he disagrees with the fact that they're making halal. So that principle should probably best be left for another time and not on Seder night, says Rav Moshe Feinstein. However, if he's in the corner and he can get away with saying halal without making a brocha, the loy nika, it wouldn't be clear, then it is... He shouldn't make a bracha. However, if it was visible, if he doesn't make a bracha, some people can do things very quietly, very loud. Then says Rav Moshe, you know, nirish tzarich gam levarich. Basically, you shouldn't make machlokes. And where does he bring the raya from? He brings the raya from this case in Kiddush, in the same way that the Chida brings the raya from. And he says it's very clear from here that you actually make a bracha in order to avoid. But he's assuming over here that there was a problem of machlokes had the Rav Ashi not made the Kiddush Gadol. So to sum it up, the bracha on Hallel on Rosh Chodesh is based on a Tosfos, and the Rambam argues, because the Rashi says we don't make a bracha on a minag, and the Ashkenazim do make a bracha, the Sephardim of Middle East don't make a bracha at all, the Sephardim of North Africa do make a bracha, and if you find yourself within a shul that makes a bracha and you're davening for the Amud, then you don't make a bracha, according to Rabbi Avadia Yosef, you wouldn't be allowed to make a bracha. And according to Rav Moshe Feinstein and the Chida, you should make a bracha. And what about the Amen? And that is also a machlokes back and forth. as to whether you can make amen for something that you, a bracha that you think is your, or kund psak, not just off the top of your mind, is a bracha levatala. For example, tefillin shal roish, where Sephardim don't make a bracha, Ashkenazim do make a bracha, you can say amen, says the Kaf HaChaim, he ideally shouldn't make a bracha, but you can make, you shouldn't say amen, but you can say amen balev. And in your heart you can say amen, but technically you can't say MS, something that you potentially don't think is MS. It's just be the same as making saying amen to any bracha levatala, even though the person that's saying it, for him it's not a bracha levatala, because he paskins that it's not a bracha levatala.
So this is the new location for
it is for the moment while the Moshe is rebuilding.